This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for the news, Xining. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise BizBytes. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
And Audrey Raj.
Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
She will be with us all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. As usual, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. She's here as well. Give us a shout, Christine. There she is. Right, we have a question for you guys. Can you go a full day without checking your social media?
I obviously can't because that's what
right.
I was doing.
So that's what she was doing. Frida, earlier on in at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, was like all anxious when I asked her the same question. We'll be asking you guys this question. Some of you have already responded as well. We've got tweets, we've got Insta messages, and we've got WhatsApp messages. And this is based on an article that we picked up from The Guardian by Richard Seymour, and it's called "The Machine Always Wins, What Drives Our Addiction to Social Media?" It's 14 or 15 pages of this guy's brain... thing. He's basically sat in front of it and right. listed down every possible reason as to why we can be addicted to social media. But of course, we also have an expert who's coming on a little bit later on. It is Dr. Karim Betash. He's a lecturer at Monash University for the Department of Psychology. He'll be giving us some insights into why it's so difficult for people to stay off of social media. So that's the story that we're running with. We've talked about social media a lot, but I think it's important, especially when Dr. Karim gives his opinion a little bit later on as to why we are so addicted to it. We'll then be moving on to the digital divide and how it's hurting middle skill workers. That's Audrey's story for today. Wrapping up with how to transition your interns to employees, another topic that we were quite heavily invested in over the last couple of weeks. So let's start off with this article. And the first paragraph is really interesting. And it starts off with, "We're swimming in writing. Our lives have become, in the words of the author and academic Shoshana Zuboff, an electronic text. Social media platforms have created a machine for us to write to. The bait is that we are interacting with other people, our friends, our colleagues, celebrities, politicians, royals, terrorists, actors, anyone we like. We are not interacting with them, however, but with the machine. We write to it and it passes on the message for us after keeping a record of the data. Whether or not we think we are addicted, the machine treats us as though we are addicts. Addiction is quite deliberately the template for our relationship to the twittering machine. Addiction is all about attention for the social media bosses. This was pretty self-evident. So the interesting question is, what is it that is so addictive? In principle, anybody can win big in a casino, but in practice, not everyone is playing with the same odds. Our social media accounts are set up like enterprises competing for attention. If we're all authors now, we write not for money, but for the satisfaction of being read. Going viral or trending is the equivalent of a windfall, but sometimes winning is the worst thing that can happen. The temperate climate of likes and approvals is apt to break lightning quick into sudden storms of fury and disapproval. So one minute you are tweeting and you are the king of the tweet pile,
right.
The next you're the bottom of the tweet pile, you know, for one little thing you may have said. And it might just be slightly off topic. You might just have caught somebody at the wrong time. When that happens, you know about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a 2015 study looked into the reasons why people who tried to quit social media failed. The survey data came from a group of people who had signed up to quit Facebook for just 99 days. Many of these determined quitters couldn't even make it past the first few days. And many of those who successfully quit had access to other social networking sites like Twitter, so they had simply displaced their addiction. Those who stayed away, however, were typically in a happier frame of mind and less interested in controlling how other people thought of them, thus implying that social media addiction is partly a self-medication for depression and partly a way of curating a better self in the eyes of others. Indeed, these two factors may not be unrelated. So the analogy between the gambler and the social media junkie is hard to avoid. And this is according to Tristan Harris, who is Google's former design ethicist. He calls your smartphone the slot machine in your pocket.
Yeah.
And it gives you intermittent variable awards. We know what these are. You don't know what you're going to get. When you pull that lever, you could get a jackpot or you might just get something
right.
small. But that you know, you get that, oh, I've won a little bit of
anticipation.
Something.
And at the end of the day, you're still hooked.
Exactly. And this is exactly what casinos use to keep people in there. The idea of having no windows, having no lights, having no clocks, nothing like that. They keep you in the machine zone where nothing else matters. And in the gambling world, they call it time on device. Now, if you start even just by looking at the device that you use, it's something beautiful. It makes you want to use it. You know, it's designed well, it's ergonomic, it's shiny, it's bright, it has all these wonderful lights, it has great sounds. So that's step one to forming an addiction and a bond with that thing in your hand. And then, of course, you open up the apps, and the apps are well done, they're streamlined, and it just keeps you focused in that one place. We've spoken about the idea of when you scroll down and that little thing rotates and then it pops up and you've got another like, and you feel
the dopamine hit.
The dopamine hit. It's all about the dopamine hit. Genuine question, though, right? How many of you two, which of you two, could go an entire day without checking any of your social media?
I could.
You could?
I know I can. But for me, it comes down to two issues. Number one, habit. Number two, FOMO.
Right.
So as simple as, like, last night I took the car to the petrol station. And while my husband was fueling up the tank, I reached for my phone. And I was like, I'm in a petrol station. You're not supposed to do that in a petrol station, right? But it's just habit. I found myself reaching for my phone. If I'm standing in line, I find myself reaching for my phone. So that's habit. FOMO, well, like, you know, like I could be reading a book and all of a sudden I'm thinking like, oh, I should catch up on what's going on Twitter. I should catch up on news.
Right.
So it's those two things that I find myself that keeps drawing me back to social media.
Is it though?
Is it though? So for me, it was last year, right? A full day, and it was a detox thing, you know. So it's body, everything, just that one day. So what I do though, like for example, right now, apart from the fact that I'm charging my phone, I purposely didn't want to bring my phone in here, right? I should be focusing on the show. I go for these little sort of sessions where I go into a sauna, and I can't bring any devices, and that's my way of not looking at my phone.
Right.
So I this is sort of like a conscious effort. I'm not looking at my phone. When I go running, I'm not looking at my phone. You know, so there are things that I do that I know that will not make me look at my phone. So at least it may not be the whole day, but at least an hour, 2 hours, I'm not looking at my phone. That sort of thing.
I have actually been in a sauna with someone who had their phone in there.
You're not allowed to. It's bad for your health, you know what I mean?
So I was on a 14 and a half hour flight recently.
Oh yeah, that too.
Right. And when the cabin crew come around and they say, okay, now the internet is on, and if you want to use the internet, it's $5 for 100 megabytes. And in your head, you're calculating, what's 100 megabytes? How long would that last? You know, and I realized at that point, I'm like, there's no hope for me, you know? And it wasn't necessarily just checking my Instagram or my WhatsApp or my Facebook. It was more about catching up on messages in WhatsApp. So part of me was like, oh, it's okay because I'm not really checking my Instagram and I'm not really checking my Facebook. But I am, like Audrey, FOMOing about messages that I may have missed in those 14 and a half hours. And most of it wouldn't have been anything important.
Right.
It would have been, you know, messages from work groups, and it would have been little bits and pieces of my family that I could have caught up with, obviously, after I'd landed.
So this is my thing with the I never get attracted by that.
Right.
I really appreciate that time that, I'll catch up on movies.
Right, yeah.
That sort of thing. I just, you know, I'm just happy for that, switching off for the next couple of hours.
Okay.
I too, want that time away. I just want to, you know, concentrate on the book in my hand, but somehow or another, I'm thinking, oh, you know, maybe I should check Twitter now. I wonder what's come up. What the football scores like? You know, so that is where I'm at. And for me, like, FOMO is a big issue.
It is an addiction, right?
It is.
There's no denying it's an addiction, and we've said this time and time again. And yet, I still find myself falling in. I mean, I must have an addictive personality, clearly, you know. And
I think we all do.
But the thing is, I think this is perpetuated, and I think this has been really rammed down our throats, and this is something that at some point is going to become, you know, not catastrophic, but is going to change the way in which we interact completely with each other forever.
You know, for the longest time, I didn't get a smartphone. For the longest time. And of course, I'm just also covering tech talk and everything. I mean, I know what's going on, but it's just like I didn't want a smartphone because this is it. this is it. But of course, you can't run away from it right now.
Right.
But for the longest time, I was just like trying to just say, I don't need a handphone. I don't need... So that was a smartphone for the longest time.
It's true what they say, though. When you... Well, once you've gotten over those 2 or 3 days of not checking it, and you do feel better, you know? Mm. No?
Yeah, yes, I'm sure. No? I'm sure.
Okay, we're going to wrap up, but that is our question of the day. Can you go a full day without checking your social media? We've already got tweets, we've already got WhatsApps, we've already got some messages via Instagram. Do keep the messages coming in. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Up next, music from Fur with What Would I Do on BFM 89.9.
Brave, free, Malaysia, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
And Audrey Raj.
Simple question. Can you go a full day without checking your social media? That's what we threw out today on our Twitter and our Instagram. We've had some messages back. Do you want to do Twitter first, Auds?
Yeah, sure. So this is from Eric Kao, who says, easy, because people are no longer posting about themselves, but videos of inconsequential material to me.
Fair enough.
Can he do without the internet? No, is what he says. Mm. There's another one here by Hakim who says, can, it's hard, but it's possible. And Girl with Good Taste also says, possible.
Over on Insta Story, I've got Lee Espionage. Very nice name. Mm. Nope, it's just so addictive. I must know what everyone is doing. I must.
Ooh. I must. Okay. All right, we've got from WhatsApp, right? Chia Tian Yun, happy birthday, Rich. Happy birthday, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Then we have from Sakuna. Says, yes, I've logged up from all social platform for a week. It can be done. Good on you. A message from Eugene saying the message was deleted. I think he's gone off social media. Okay. And there's another one here, number 1607. It's hard going a full day without social media. I was a serial Instagrammer and I took a break from it for a year and counting. Wow. Twitter and FB, though, are like news sources, but I've also imposed every Sunday a no social media day. It's manageable and bite sized and set small goals if you really want detox from social media. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I'm more aware of my surroundings and paying really good attention to what I'm doing at the moment. Mm. Wow, okay, thank you.
There's another one here by Eddie Hasbullah who says, can, but that isn't what social media is all about.
True.
So I guess it's coming back to, you know, what is the purpose of social media to begin with?
We've got more coming in. Okay, I'll just do that. So this is Benji. I like to be in the moment when with someone, be lunch or meeting, I'll give them 100% attention. But when I'm alone, I need to make up time lost or multitask whenever possible. Example, check any important work mail messages in the lift or escalator. Facebook, Instagram, I'll skip it. So that's the kind of thing. That's from Benji.
Time on device, Auds, is what it's all about, isn't it? You know, this whole idea of gambling addiction and keeping us on. And what they say, Facebook recently, what was it they said? They said, we are not encouraging you to stay online so much, but when you are online, we're trying to make it as though it's something useful for you. And that sounds like some kind of very political message or politician's message, which neither says anything or nothing, you know.
Exactly.
We did manage to speak to an expert, though, who is over at Monash University from the Department of Psychology. His name is Dr. Karim Batash, and we asked him, why is it so difficult for people to stay off social media?
It is so difficult to stay off social media for people in general because it taps into the most basic regions of our brain that is related to reward. Number two, it also taps into our hardwired need as human beings to engage in social behavior. We don't live in communal situations anymore as before. In the old days, we would live in small villages. We would live among groups day in, day out, even though we now have more complex societies, bigger cities like Kuala Lumpur. We also become more lonely and individualized. So social media taps into that communal need plus that basic hardwired reward system in our brain. Creators of Facebook, Twitter, and so forth, they know that this creates an addiction. The moment we get likes, that is validation, we want more likes. We want more validation. Getting validation from others, especially those who are important to us, when we get likes from those who we like as a person, that triggers our reward system in our brain, our dopamine system. And thus we are searching for more and more and more and more, and it goes on and on and on. And before you know, you have a addiction, a social media addiction, which has become a serious problem in the current day generation of people.
Now, is there an alternative form of this kind of validation in real life? And how does this kind of validation affect us?
Actually, yes and no. To the extent that it's such a mass system, you know, where you can get validation from so many people at the same time from so many areas around the world. No, there's nothing compared to that. What is comparable is, for example, going to a bar or going to a club. You dress up nicely, you go to the club, and you get a lot of attention, you get a lot of validation from people around you. That is a bit comparable. It gives people a boost, it gives, and the reward system gets triggered. This is a bit the same kind of idea behind social media and the way it works in relation to validation. This is problematic because it changes social dynamics. For example, you have an increasing movement on the internet called MGTOW, which means men going their own way, or the red pill community. Many guys feel that it's very hard to remain in a relationship, to keep a girlfriend, because it's so easy for females these days to put their picture on Instagram, social media, and get a lot of validation. And with that validation also comes the idea of trying to find a better partner. So you see that social media has changed the romantic dynamics. And that actually also creates some kind of counter movements like the red pill community. So in a sense, this validation system is very successful. It keeps people hooked. On the other hand, it has a very bad effect because it makes people addicted. And secondly, it even changes some very important social dynamics such as romance.
What did you think about that? Wow,
that was scary.
It's very interesting. I never knew about the red pill community, but that's you know, sad, but I think that's the direction that people just went like, okay, I'm going to switch off and all that. Well, or they could dress up and just, you know, go to a party and get validated. But,
I mean, and that's what I was thinking. If you look at it in some ways, that you know, to refer back to that quote, when you are going out, mm-mm, as people say, you know, and you dress up nice, mm, and you go out, and you know, and you do get a little bit more noticed than you would normally. You do get that self-validation, right? Mm. But when you're posting to Instagram or you're posting to Facebook, is that same kind of thinking process going in there? Do you dress up to post on Facebook, you know, your posts?
Aren't filters and,
that's what
you
I mean,
know, like those like makeup kind of filters as well. You know, all those, isn't that considered like dressing up for social media?
You're talking to me. Okay. No, but
not specifically,
you know, I get that. But also at this point as well, I'm looking at, you know, what's being posted out there, and I think there is a social responsibility of just posting things as you are. No, I'm more so like, you know, some days I don't have my makeup on, I do that. I look at inspiration as well with the Michelle Pfeiffers, a couple of, you know, Julianne Moore, right? These sort of people just sort of come on, not done anything to their face, not put any makeup, and I'm just like, wow, you know, the Helen Mirrens and all that, and I'm sort of looking at that direction where, yes, they are on social media, but they're not, you know, and maybe they do get the validation, but at least they're very real about who they are.
There's also a preference or an appreciation for raw images today, and that's why, you know, stories are so big, you know, that's why most people like, that is why you don't have as many filters on stories, or, you know, you can't do more to your images on stories, just because people actually prefer the raw footage of yourself, right?
But what about this idea of the red pill then? You know, what he was saying, you know, girls can go on, they can get a lot more validated, and it makes it harder for the boys to stay in a relationship because she's getting more validation than him.
But also with social media and every other, I mean, with technology today, there are just so many more options out there for you to find spouses. So you, with more options, you just feel like, I don't have to settle for this one. I'm going to, the next one's going to be better.
Be better, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, making decisions, the more choices you have, how you actually have less choices, right? Remember we had that conversation and the whole idea of just, you know, these dating apps, and you think, okay, I'm not going to get to know a person better because swipe, there must be someone else out there better, right? But I can see now how it might be such an issue with the younger generation where everything, their value, validation, everything is on their phone, you know what I mean? So how this is affecting men when their girlfriends are getting more attention. That's, I didn't realize that, you know.
Okay, one final question we managed to squeeze in was how can someone wean themselves off being addicted to social media?
The best way is just by quitting cold turkey. Don't deactivate, but delete it. Don't do it a little bit then and a little bit here and a little bit there. Quit cold turkey. It will be hard for the first 4 or 5 days, but after that, you will see that you actually become more positive, more happy. Things that didn't give you any more reward, any more dopamine shot, because your reward system was so tied into electronic validation, you know, likes on Facebook, likes on Twitter, that normal life, normal interactions didn't give your brain that same kind of reward anymore. If you quit cold turkey, slowly real life will suddenly start to become nicer again. As a psychologist, I can advise everyone, young and old, to literally quit social media. You can have your WhatsApp, you can still keep in touch with people, you can use your email, but social media is not good for our mental health and our social fabric as a society.
Frida.
No!
FOMO, though. That's what's going to happen, isn't it? You know? Yeah. Right, we have to take a break, ladies and gents. Of course, our story of the day, or rather our question of the day, can you go a full day without checking your social media? Do let us know. WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. WhatsApp is the number. That's the WhatsApp number. Oh, my word. Twitter and Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Oh, I'll do it slowly. 018-789-8899. Somebody did say that I was too fast the other day. So
Eugenie.
There you go. Eugenie. Now, we're going to take a short break with Buddy Guy with First Time I Met the Blues. And when we come back, our next story, the digital divide is hurting middle skill workers, here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.